Amen, saints. We'll have a little fellowship to continue the line we've been sharing on regarding the material offerings and the Lord's move today. And I just wanted to share a few things that the other brothers in preceding verses, weeks have already shared in a marvelous way, but I think I'll just cover a little review, right? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Not a problem. Amen. But we've been sharing this, I think the last month or so, related to material offerings, related to money. The Bible uses the term mammon. And really, what we want to have is a biblical view of money, of mammon, of material matters. How does the Bible view and understand money? I tell you, it is completely different than how the world sees financial things. So we need to have our mind renewed and brought into God's view. What is mammon? To see that. And then secondly, how, as those who are God's children, and particularly as those of us who are in God's purpose, how do we manage our money? So those are what we want to see. This is completely different than anything you'd get in any kind of financial seminar, because they also talked about understanding money and how to manage. We want to have God's view. It is a transcendent, completely different view. Even though we may have covered this before or had this fellowship, I tell you, the Lord's recovery is in a stage it has never been in the history of the universe. We have to have this view in a fresh, up-to-date way. So again, just a little bit in review. How does the Bible view money? Mammon. We have to be clear. Mammon is an idol. This is not just something that's innocuous or neutral. It is an idol that possesses man. And the Bible contrasts God with only one other idol. Says you cannot serve two masters. You have to choose who is your master. Is it God or is it mammon? That's how significant this is. The Lord spoke about mammon numerous times in the gospel. I think in every epistle that Paul wrote, he refers to dealing and properly handling this matter of mammon. So we have to have the biblical view that it is not a neutral thing, but this thing is an idol. And in fact, in the reading, we shouldn't treat it lightly. We have to realize this is a viper, a poisonous cobra. If that is in the room, you realize we got to deal with this in the proper way. So the verse is in Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. See, God is a master, but there is a master that opposes him. Either we hate the one and love the other, right? You cannot serve God and mammon. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And particularly in these days, as I said, this is in a new category as far as the history of the universe and even as the history of the church. 2 Timothy 3:1-4 talks about in the last days, difficult times will come. I think even if we're not that well aware of matters, we know these are difficult times and these are the last times. What happens in these times? Men become lovers of self and lovers of money. There it is again. This is Paul's last epistle. He writes this. Lovers of self, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure, contrasted to, they become not lovers of God and not lovers of good. But brothers and sisters, We are here as lovers of God. Amen. That is who we are. Amen. We love God. We do not love mammon. Amen. So we have to have that clear view. This is how God views mammon. So then, secondly, how do we manage this thing that we must have, but it's also a cobra? What do you do with this thing? We have to have the biblical view of how to manage it. And it's very simple. In the world, you manage it by accumulating and guarding and holding on and increasing. The biblical way that we manage mammon is we give it away. Amen. We offer it to the Lord. Amen. The more you try to hang on to it, that is the wrong approach. We must have the Father's heart and Father's view. He gives us the material matters for our necessities, plus He wants us to offer it back to Him. Amen. He gives it to us because He knows we need these material things, but He also has a heart that we would give it back to Him for His purpose. That's it. That's the simplest way. That is the Christian, biblical, spiritual way that we manage our finances. Amen. We don't hang on to it. We give it back to the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. That's marvelous. And you know, the brothers have spoken to this many times in the past. So how do we manage? It says in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given to you. See, step one is we give. And step two, the Lord takes care of us. Isn't that wonderful? We have a Father. Brothers and sisters, we are not orphans. Amen. We have a Father who takes care of us. Amen. And you know, He takes very careful attention. He gives careful attention to how do we give. Don't think that, you know, He is indifferent about this matter. In Luke, the Lord, it says, He sat down opposite the offering box and He observed. He is observing us. I mean, this was a real speaking to me. He sat down to observe how do His children give. It's a great matter. That should be our realization of how the Lord views this matter. Amen. So, it's really marvelous. Matthew 6:19-21. Do not store up for yourself treasures on the earth. That's the world's way. But God's way is the following. Store up for yourself treasures in heaven. You know, we need to be those. How do you store up treasures? By offering it back to the Lord. This, something happens. We should not leave the money in our heavenly account. We need to have a transfer. Don't leave your money there. Transfer it into the right account. We need to transfer our material holdings into the heavenly account. That is the most secure, has the highest interest, and it is where we get an eternal benefit. Because it's really true. It talks about mammon, there is a day coming when it will fail. All the people talk about invest it in here or put it here and it grows and grows. Well, there is a guarantee what happens to every investment. It will go to zero. A day is coming where it all go to zero. That is what the Bible reveals. But in the heavenly account, it grows, it multiplies, and there is a tremendous blessing. It's not just about the material things, but the spiritual benefit you reap is incalculable. There is an eternal profit. Praise the Lord. So we must transfer. So I wanted to talk a little bit about how much? How do we give? And how much should we give, right? But before that, I did want to say that the further way that the Bible talks about this matter of finances is this thing that's a deadly viper. You know, Paul, when we put it into the Lord's hands, and it's in our hands, the saints' hands, and we manage it properly, it suddenly is no longer a serpent. It becomes fellowship. It becomes grace. Think about that. this thing that totally usurps man, that Satan has used as a tremendous weapon and tool to damage mankind, in our hands, it becomes a great blessing. Amen. When we can participate in the fellowship unto the gospel. Ones can be saved, transferred out of Satan's kingdom into God's kingdom. Amen. Because we help financially the needs for that to take place. Amen. Maybe we helped the full-timers. We're offering to Germany. We're offering to the things going on in England. All of that. That financial giving is going to greatly benefit the Lord's move to transfer sinners into His sonship. Amen. To build up His kingdom. To bring in His kingdom in that part of the world. What a view. What a totally different purpose for this matter of mammon. So I can tell you, we should give. This is really true. You know, I had this experience, and we have to learn it over and over again. There's a point where, it was before I was married, our budget was really tight, and every penny counted, every dime. But there was a need, and I gave to that need, you know. It was more than my usual giving, but it did create a loss, you know. And it went for months, and every time I was doing my accounting, I'd say, oh, why is it so difficult this month? And then I'd go back, and I remember, oh, it's because I gave to that additional need. And each time I remember that, there was grace. Every time I remembered that hole in the budget, it was like, oh, praise the Lord. There was like a special taste that the Lord gave me. And then a few months ago, I'd forget again, and again, it'd be short. I'd look back, and oh, and it was almost always that same amount I was short. And each time, there was a grace there. I thought, oh, I'm glad I did that. Praise the Lord. This is just a small example. But over and over again, when we touch the Lord and we participate in the material giving, there is grace. And really, this is His goal. Does He really need our money? You know, He could turn rocks into whatever He needs. But He needs our heart. He needs our heart open that He could dispense Himself. His purpose is to infuse us and have His life increase in us. And there's things, there's rocks and thorns in our heart. And you know what? Those rocks and thorns, particularly the thorns, very much related to mammon, to money. We need to open and let the Lord touch those things. Then His life can grow. Then He can bless us with His very self. Ultimately, that we would be brought into the kingdom. So, how to give and how much? 1 Corinthians 16:2, Paul says, on the first day of the week, each one of you should lay aside in store to himself whatever he has been prospered. So what the Lord has given you on a weekly basis, it's a good practice. This isn't legal, but on a regularly, not an annual, but something on the order of a weekly basis, we should consider giving something to the Lord. And so, here's another very practical thing. Whenever you gain any kind of income, the first thought should be, before you figure out how much do I have to pay bill-wise and then what's left, before you even do that, think first, how much of this can I give to the Lord? Amen. If you have a salary that comes in, that should be your first thought. Maybe the boss gives you a bonus. You shouldn't think, oh, I can buy. No, first thought, how much of that should I give to the Lord? Maybe even as a young person, you go visit a relative and they give you a gift. Your grandmother says, here's a little, you know, mad money. Your first thought should not what to go mad with that money. Think about, even if it's a small amount, I should give some of this to the Lord. From an early age, you should have that training. And in fact, even us older ones, even those, some of us who are retired, the Lord needs to continually train us. How do we manage our money? Our first thought when we are prospered any amount should be giving some of it back. That is a great principle. And then the quantity should be something that we look to the Bible again for. And in Leviticus and in Numbers and also even in Genesis, there is a principle of 10%, which is actually where the word tithe comes from. Tithe has the thought of 10 in it. So this is an Old Testament thought that is at least a basic standard, that 10% of what the Lord prospers us should be given back to Him. But, you know, we are not in the Old Testament. We're in the New Testament.
Amen.
So our thought shouldn't be a 10% mandatory tax. That is just legal. When we give, even if it is a 10%, there should be grace there.
Amen.
There should be life in our giving.
Yes.
There should be a life power in whatever we offer to the Lord. So don't get stuck in an Old Testament legal thing. Whatever the percent is, but 10% is a good standard, at least that much. So I always, even for today, I would say, use the thought 10 plus. Don't think, okay, I got 100, so 10's the Lord. Now I can spend, I took care of the Lord's tax. Don't think of it that way. Think about what do you need and give whatever you don't need. Maybe it's 50%, maybe all you need is 50. That means you can get $50 of grace, double what you might normally have gotten in terms of grace, maybe five times. You should have that view. This is what happens when the Lord's life operates in you and He touches you. But we're fallen and we're unpredictable and we can't trust our inward, quote, quote, feeling. That's why the Lord gives us a hard number. It says 10%. If it's 1%, go back and pray some more. But anyway, praise the Lord. And one final thought, it should be 10 plus and another number that has been fellowshiped, excuse me, is in addition to our regular giving, whatever that 10 plus is that the Lord touches you, we also should also give an additional 5% to take care of the Lord's work and the Lord's workers. And that is what Paul refers to as the fellowship unto the gospel. I tell you, we've been doing this. That's why the offering box, well, we don't have it anymore. We used to have two places. It just got too complicated for the finance brothers. But there is an account called the fellowship unto the gospel. In addition to our regular giving for all the needs in the church and our local needs, there should be a view towards the Lord's workers and towards His move through the whole earth. And that number the brothers have fellowshiped, consider 5%. We should all give 10 plus and then 5%. That should be our view at a minimum. So I would just leave you with that, but praise the Lord. So this matter of sowing, the last thing is we should realize a different view from the world's view is this thing called money is viewed as something that you hold and collect and save. But the Bible in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 7, Paul says, and he's talking about financial giving, he who sows sparingly shall also sparingly reap. He who sows with blessing shall also with blessings reap. Have you ever thought that your salary is seed corn? This material that you've received, this is to be sown. When you offer it, it is planting in the ground. So do you think any farmer would expect a crop if he did not plant any seeds? Obviously not. Paul's view is the more we sow, the more we will reap. Both materially, He will take care of us, and also He will be the one that blesses it for His own work. So then this verse, Philippians 4, 15 through 16, verse 19 says, and my God will, maybe we could all read it, Philippians 4, those of you that have it, this is too tremendous. This is a promise in the Bible from our Father. Philippians 4, verse 19. We can read it with a strong spirit and full of faith. And my God will fill your every need according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Amen.